Greetings, Zogling Quigger and Mamzer Aspiles across the Pruta and the Zog Plain, here in the open-air coast-to-coast net house we call Zog Babylon, the third and final. And this show is presented by Pastor Martin Lindstedt and the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Area Nations of Missouri. And we call it the Dying Zog. The Dying Zog for the 18th of March, 2022. And tonight, with Logan Hunter helping, not Logan Hunter, but Fat Guy Kempin, we'll discuss the war in the Zog's war in the Ukraine. We'll discuss Brian Rio. We'll go ahead and discuss why Zog Babylon, you know, ruled by Jew. You know, and we were ruled by Jews during the ages of the Hyksos King, 3,550 some years ago. Has to go ahead and end sometime. And rather than worry too much about, Joseph's senility, a.k.a., Senile Joe, we understand is that since Zog has fallen and fallen and can't get up, sooner or later, Zog will fuck up. And then Zog will really be fucked. So anyway, this is tonight's episode of The Dying Zog.
Pastor Lindstedt, Aryan man, with an Armageddon plan, derailed Zog's railroad train. Wants to kill all the Jews, and a lot of Wiggers too. He has a psycho Aryan non-Wigger brain. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and chasing all Zog's lie, and putting Zog Babylon in its grave. It was on any weekday night, when Jews lie that they's right, he pissed on damn kite claims. And the weird zap with a shout, them stupid fucking louts, that Pope Marty done hits at what he aims. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and finished off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. It was on any weekday night when the pastor is at home talking to Christ's family tree. When along's come dirty Jew and a Zogling Wigger or two, making they's ass whooping nefaree. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and facing all Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. Well, the ass clouds hold their breath when they hear a pastor's death. They wonder why he don't fucking lie. It was dirty piss or possums and all of Satan's mamzers that want to take him down on the sly. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and finished off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave.
All right, this is the Dying Zog in Exile, 6:23 p.m. Central Standard Time, March 18, 2022. This is Divas the Great.
Well, greetings, Zogling Quigger and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the grid net, Zog Plain, here in the open air Coast Coast Net House. We call Zog Babylon the third and final. All right, folks. What happens is I had boomer tech issues. What happens? I didn't have the microphone plugged in. But I did, go ahead and how I go ahead and after, the Windows 7 computer from the BIOS is from 2008. What happened, this is Dying Zog here in Exile. What happens is that I had to go ahead and, I couldn't even get up the cell phone hotspot working. And what I had to do is I had to go ahead and pull the plug. Now what that does is it goes ahead and brings the thing up all together. If it doesn't log off, it goes ahead and brings up what you had, at least hopefully, we got back. Now this is a $95 with monitor, and speakers and mouse and keyboard setup I bought way back, not that far back, bought it in 2019, and it cost $95. So, got a fairly good deal on here. It was just a used computer store in Joplin. And so what happens is I used to have all the other computers over at the house in Granby. This was the first one I went ahead and brought. I just simply paid $95 for it. Okay. So.
All right.
Anyway, I've been working on my Brian Reel stuff for.
Oh, what the fuck? Oh, what the fuck happened? Gosh damn it.
Something like what? 160 gigabyte drive inside them because they're from 2008. So what you do is that you go ahead and buy these USB ports. Back when IBM was new, they had all sorts of problems with IRQ things here, interrupt things here. What happens is that the USB port pretty well did away with that stuff. So what you do is you hook up.
I haven't talked to you in a fucking week, man. Hi.
Hi. Okay. Hi, Fat Kike. You're in a good mood. For a Gen Xer here.
We rule Gen X forever.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Good Lord here. I mean, I haven't even been yet threatened with Soylent Boomer here.
But the night is young.
The night is young, man.
We'll see.
I was getting. In the blogosphere, there are a number of people here who are pretty well fairly big. One is this guy named Aesop who has his rank couture. There's Cold Fury. He's getting back into it. He lost a leg or something like that to diabetes here recently. There's this Peter Grant here who is a South African refugee. You know what I mean? And, he's banned me because I called him a locust here because I said, shoot, he's real proud that he worked against apartheid. And then, in 1996, he immediately ran to Zogland. And I accused him essentially of being, a refugee, essentially a locust refugee. You know what I mean? You got to go ahead and turn. And same way with Claire the Jukal Wolf here. Her strategy as a libertune is simply to go ahead and run run to a racist red state here where the natives don't like Indians or niggers or Jews, and essentially insinuate herself here as a liberal Whigger or Jewish libertine, and then go ahead and shit on the people she's fleeing to. And then eventually, when it turns into a shithole like what she left, she goes and looks for a place that's even more fucked up, like, say, Nevada. You know what I mean? You know, less fucked up here. Just gonna make it more fucked up here. Same with Peter Grant here. So, anyway, what's really, you know, what's really been, you know, what's really been quite interesting, you know, I mean, what, you know, quite interesting here is that pretty well every day we see pretty well the end is long. What I keep on liking to say here is, well, you know, in 1984, you know, in the book, you know, 1984, you have George Orwell saying, you know, that Winston Smith is a, essentially a, truth denier. He goes ahead and he works in the mystery of truth, i.e., essentially for the Jews media of his day. And what he keeps on yapping about is how, well, pretty well there's three major blocks. There's Oceania, which consists of Britain, Zog, you know, Zog, and Zog's conquered South America and has Australia. And then you have Eurasia, which is essentially the Soviet Union, going all the way to France here. All the way to France and all the way to Vladivostok here. And then underneath that, you have East Asia. So you have three major power blocks, all communistic here. You have Oceania, you have Eurasia, and you have East Asia. And what happens is I call Oceanus. You get it? Oceanus. Essentially, the faggot, you know, liberal Jew, Oceanus versus, you know, Eurasia and East Asia. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah.
Well, increasingly, as a result of Putin, Prince of the Slavs, you know, Prince of both Soviet, the, you know, the greater Russian Japothetic Slavs.
Prince of the Slavs.
And Japheth was the oldest son of Noah. And Shem was the middle son of Noah. And Ham was the worthless son.
Yeah, Japheth is pretty pissed off. I think he's going to kick your ass.
So what happens is that after the flood, the proper place of Japheth, the proper Japheth here, was that he would be to the east of the swamp here from the British Isles all the way.
No. Where is that in the Bible? Come on. How do you know I'm Japheth?
Simply because you're a Western Slav here of sorts. You know what I mean?
Whatever.
So what you have, well, you know, pretty well later on, people who were sort of not biblically oriented, like Dr. Lawford Stoddard, he went ahead and said of the whites here, there's three main camps here. There's the Mediterranean, which are the Hamites.
Alpine.
There are the Alpines, which are the Slavs, and there are the Nordics, which are the Semites, okay? So anyway, you know, I'm going to go ahead and write this to, essentially what pleases me here is that, you know, pretty well, you know, this court in South Dakota has essentially, you know, they've gone ahead and, you know, held my sister up for another $60,000. Now Brian Reel's gloating about it to the Missouri courts, the South Dakota courts, and the rest here. My position is that I told you way back on the 13th of June, 2016, that the punishment for running essentially a sodomical court here that you can get punished like Sodom and Gomorrah. I pretty well said the Chernobyl is a North Perry nuclear power plant. And for South Dakota, well, you know, Pier and Fort Pier get washed off the map here by destroying these river impoundments here. And then at the very top of the hill, while we end up having, you know, we end up having a police checkpoint where we go ahead and geld and turn into walking wombs the spawn of regime criminals and lawyers and judges and the rest here. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, I went ahead and told you the penalty for doing what you're doing here. So, in any case, I'm working on that here, and I go ahead and get it drafted up and sent out. You know, pretty well, they've let Brian Rio just run wild.
Run wild.
But what I especially like here is
fuck that goddamn critter.
Guess what? Putin, I mean, I guess it'd be yesterday, you know, it's a minimum of 8 hours to God knows where, because it's, you know, it's eight time zones here. You know, about 8,000 miles, you know, from Vladivostok to St. Petersburg. And what he had is he had a Trump-style rally here. You know, and pretty well, you have a whole bunch of, other people. But I was looking at an article in the Wall Street Journal about the people in this town, which was within 20 miles of the furthest, you know, the furthest in toward the north. It was between Moscow and Leningrad, you know, St. Petersburg. It was within 20 miles of the, of the lines. And what happens is that they showed me a, bunch of pictures about where the people looked. Well, they look fat, but then again, on the other hand, this is mid-March in Russia here. So these people wear all this bulky layered clothing is what they do. You know what I mean? What you do is you're better off rather than just having one thing, you're better off having it in layers after you go outside here. But you can go ahead and see that's halfway melted off or something like that where it is. It's essentially a town which is a little bit smaller than Joplin, around 30,000-40,000 people here. And I was looking at their rally, and they all had a Z, because it's Operation Z, which they're going in here. And what happens is that, shoot, they had fairly newer looking cars, which outside the little hood ornaments here, I don't know who the hell makes those Russian cars here, but you end up having one that looked like a rust bucket, like what I drive. You know what I mean? And what happens is that here are these people looking prosperous. It looks like a picture taken in mid-March of essentially Michigan is what it looks like. And you go ahead and you see these people in barely within 10 years. I mean, what surprised me is that the styling on those cars are a good deal like what you would find in a Walmart parking lot, but with less pickup trucks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's sort of like in South Dakota where people have a car which they use to go ahead and drive into town, but most of the time when they go about their business, they'll have a pickup truck of some sort or another. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so here they were, and they had broad slouches. They all looked prosperous. And pretty well what they had is they had a rally, and like it's true. I mean, you know, 75 or more percent of these people who live in this small city in northwestern Russia, they support Putin. Pretty well, they were pointing out about how fucked up shit was when the Soviet Union fell apart after 1991.
Hail Putin! Hail Russia! Hail our people!
Well, pretty well. What I'm going to go ahead and do is write an article. Now, you're talking about how the position of Japhethites here were east of, the Shemites here. And so, pretty much, I got into an argument with Aesop's character. Pretty well, he said, Putin's lost.
I know, but Martin, doesn't it say that Japhethite will live in the tents of Shem?
I'm not denying it. It says the Canaanites would too here. What happens is that, this is what I'm going to go ahead and point on, is that after the flood, Ham went ahead and stole the garments of power, and pretty well, according to some traditions here, is that this piece of shit Ham had three wives. He had a white wife, who supposedly were the father of the Egyptians and the Libyans or whatever, Mizraim and Phut. And then you had to where he went ahead and married the Sethite, Canaanite woman, who was a sister of Tubal-Cain called Naama. Her mother was a Sethite.
Interesting.
But she married, you go ahead and read it in Genesis chapter 4, she went ahead and married, with Ada and Zillah, and they married the Bad Lamech. The Bad Lamech was six generations down from Cain, and he shot an arrow in the air, went lands I know not where. Well, what happens is that supposedly it went and killed his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Cain. Well, let me just go ahead since I have my Bible handy here. Let me go to Genesis chapter 4.
Japhethite forever! Hail Japhethite!
Okay. Anyway, so what you have is that Genesis chapter 4, essentially this is of the line of Cain here. It goes ahead and says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. This is sort the Satan nigger with a 12-inch dick here, who she liked, went ahead and had a man from the Satan nigger. Lord, damn, whatever. And she again bare his brother Abel, who was Adam's son here, who got sloppy seconds. Now, Coppery said that essentially they were like Esau and Jacob. They were twins, fraternal twins, not identical twins, in Eve's womb here. So, it goes on, and chapter 4 is of the concerns of the bloodline of Cain. So, anyway. Reading the book of Jasher, me and Logan went ahead and seen that pretty much that we went through the Cave of Treasures here first, but then later on we went through the book of Japheth. And what happens is that...
Yeah, where are your Ham brothers? Where are your Shem brothers? They fucking abandoned you.
In any case, no. I keep on pointing out is that throughout history... The children of Satan, through Ham, then marrying back in, goes ahead and creates these Jews here who dominate both the Shemites and the Japhethites. Here, I'm going to get to that here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it goes on, and you have this thing where Cain is given a mark here, and that's his big old juice. Now here, I will be a fugitive and a vagabond in Europe. It shall come to pass that everyone who finds me shall slay me. Well, who would find him other than the fact that there were other humanoids, Cro-Magnons, whatever. There were other humanoids on the face of the earth. So, I mean, it was just Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Well, guess what? He's killed Abel. Well, hey, it doesn't say that Adam's going to kill him. It doesn't say Eve's going to go ahead and kill him. So, like, Miss Ellie, was you know, thought that she'd go ahead and plug JR back in 1981 here on Who Shot JR. Well, no, there were other humanoids around. Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So he went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Eden was, you know, somewhere in Mesopotamia. You know, verse 17, Genesis chapter 4, Cain to his wife, she conceived, bore Enoch here, and he built a city, and a lot of people think that that was the city of Erech. He called the city the name of the city after the name of Enoch. So essentially, a lot of the names were the same. There was a bad Enoch, who was the son of Cain, and there was a good Enoch, who was the father, I think, of Methuselah. You know what I mean? Well, and unto Enoch was Irad, and Arad begat Mahujael begat Methuselah. Methuselah begat Lamech. Well, there was a good Lamech who was the son of, the son of Methuselah and the father of Noah. And there was an evil Lamech who was the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Cain. Verse 19, Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. Now, if you look at me, you know, Cave of Treasures, why, as Logan Hunter says, they decided to not stay on the mountain here around the Cave of Treasures, but rather follow drug, sex, and rock and roll. So they went ahead and married the bad Lamech. And, you know, verse 20, and Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, you know, such as have cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ and played rock and roll music here. Yeah. And Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Okay, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And what happens is that a lot of these names were rather popular. They had series of popularity, like my aunt, who was born on the 4th of July, 1933. I'd stay over my, you know, according to my grandmother.
What the fuck happened?
She, you know, stayed around the Depression. Like Shirley Temple, well, you know, my Aunt Shirley was a less, you know, notorious Shirley. But Naamah was a common name. Noah's wife, who was his aunt, who was 102 years older than him, was called Naamah. So, you know, the reason, you know, most of the time women are not mentioned in the Bible, but this one is. Why? Because after the flood, she became known as a sorceress. You know, who essentially knew the dark arts here, and just like Jews here. Usually the Jew male is essentially a spawn of Satan. But what carries him forward here, what brings him to life, is the pussy. And what happens is the kike female is especially evil. They concentrate. Now, there are some Jew boys like Cain 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, and AKA, what they do is they become, in many cases, every 3 or 4 generations, they have to have a especially good-looking kikus who becomes known as an Esther kikus. And her job is to go ahead and bring in, because they have the bloodline of Satan, their job is to go ahead and bring in this, you know, stabilizing area, you know, or essentially white bloodline as well. So you end up having these Esther kikuses, like was, you know, done in the Book of Esther. So here it is, that she has her part in addition to being a thoroughly evil bitch here. She was not aboard the ark at all. Noah's flood was a local flood in the Tarim in the Karen Basin in southwest China, up against the Himalayas. And it was approximately 600 miles long and 300 miles wide. And that's where they left after they were kicked out of Eden. So anyway, verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah, the Sethite women, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Verse 24, Cain shall be avenged 77-fold, truly Lamech 77-fold. Well, from what I gather, Cain was very much still a, quote, young man. He had the satanic Luciferian DNA. But he also had the DNA from his mother, who was the genetic clone with the Y chromosome turned to X here. Essentially, he came from two. Long living. If Eve, I don't know how long Eve lived, but Adam supposedly lived to be 930. Wouldn't his genetic clone, mother, also live a long time? And since she had the satanic I-core of Satan, Cain would have more than likely lived very, 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 very long. Just like Og Abation, who was 14 feet tall, at least, probably lived longer than Methuselah. Methuselah had an extra long lifespan because Methuselah was Noah's grandfather. And pretty well the thing was that he would die a week before the great flood, which flooded the Tarim Basin. That's why he lived so long. His death would be a sign to sitting Adamites that the wrath of Yahweh was about to come upon them for the race mixing, for all the other bad shit that they were doing. So anyway, Naamah was an evil creature here, but every so often, just like with Esau and the Hittite women, the satanic I-core gets fixed. Again, and they have a new line of satanic Jew Mongols here. So anyway, you have Naamah. Let's go ahead and leave her there. She is with daddy's people here, the Kenites, a.k.a. the Canaanites. You end up having this great flood here. Now, you were asking about where this stuff is from the Bible. And Genesis chapter 5 is the patriarchs from Adam to Noah. It goes on that, the days of Methuselah were 969. And Lamech, he lived 182 years. He begat a son. The son was Noah. And you read in the book of Enoch that Noah was essentially an albino. Super, super, super white. He may have even had pink eyes. Who knows? He was especially white. They were worried that he might be demon spawn. And he wasn't. He was of the bloodline. Lamech, he went ahead and begat sons and daughters. Well, Where did they go? You end up having the world here. I remember when I was a kid, I was about 13, 14 years old, I went ahead and added, supposedly the world began, go ahead and I'm looking at the reference Bible that my dad gave me here back in 1972. I go ahead and add up the years. I guess not very many people have that interest. And it says, the flood will have occurred 1,651 years after creation. That's when Methuselah died. what happened with Methuselah? Did he die because he wasn't aboard the ark and didn't swim or what? And they go ahead and talk about the book of Asher, or the book of Jasher, to where Methuselah died a scant week before the heavens opened up. So, verse 32 of Genesis chapter 5. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Well, the thing is that Japheth was actually, he married his aunt, who was supposedly a prophetess, married his aunt, whose name was Naama as well. From my gather, the word Naama meant beloved. So, now this is turning into understanding Dulcie like Christmas Daddy instead of the dying dog. But you go on. Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Japheth was the oldest one. And so 2 years later, along comes Shem, and I'm not quite sure when Ham came along. And pretty well, Shem was the middle son. Japheth was the oldest. Now, the Worldwide Church of God used to yap stupid shit about how Japheth married a Oriental woman, and, you know, that's why they're the way they are. And, you know, Ham married a Negress, you know, which was, you know, stupid shit. That's what the Worldwide Church of God used to somewhat teach here. But you go on about the wickedness of the world, Genesis chapter 6 here. And, you know, pretty well, Noah is told 120 years earlier that Noah found grace here. These are generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, essentially. He only had, you know, pretty well what they did is they married their sisters here. According to Josephus, Josephus had 22 sons and 33 daughters, or 33 daughters, and, you know, whatever here. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the thing is, because it's been a while since I read Josephus. But the earth was corrupt and the earth was filled with violence. Well, that's what you end up having. I mean, hell. You know, I mean, it was looking sort of like a semi-rural Chicago or something, or Baltimore, or St. Louis. He said, the end of all flesh has come before me. Now, it already been predicted. It already been predicted in Adam's time with the two pillars, one a brick and one a stone. The first, the world would end, as far as they were concerned, by water and then later by fire. Fire is yet to come. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you a oak of gopher wood. Room shall you make for the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without here. And essentially, he's going to go ahead and build a three-story floating cracker box, which was, what, 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, and 75 feet tall. So you have the instructions given, and you're going to take your sons and sons' wives and every little thing, essentially all the animals, not of the entire earth, essentially of the 600 feet long by, you know, or 450 feet long, you know, well, in the area of 600 miles long and 300 miles wide. And it says the flood was caused by Yahweh. Blood. You know, so anyway, he did. It took him a while. And the great flood here. He says, come you and all the house into the ark, for you have been righteous here. And pretty well, it took 120 years to go ahead and make the boat, and he ended up having the help of his sons and whoever he hired. Maybe go ahead and build it. But pretty well, the 120 years, people ask, well, why couldn't Yahweh just simply have told Noah, like Abraham, leave the land of Padan Aram here, the the land of your birth here in Ur of the Chaldees at the, you know, pretty well at the mouth of the Persian Gulf. Why couldn't they just told Abraham to go, like he told Abraham to go ahead and move here? Why go ahead and build this ark? And the answer was, is he wanted to tell the Adamic people, he wanted to tell the Adamic people that they had, what they had to do is that they had to repent. And upon repenting, probably move away themselves here. You understand that there were white Europeans at this time. I mean, if Billy Roper had known anything about Christian identity, he could have had his evolution. He could have said this is Yahweh created all these things that he wanted to go ahead and create. But Billy Roper didn't understand anything because he's a Zogbah here. I mean, whatever woman he marries is a beard probably has more understanding in Christian identity than he does, and he doesn't have hardly any. But anyway, moving on. You see the story of the flood here. Now, this occurred when Noah, the flood occurred when Noah was 600 years old. And aboard the ark, some of the things that they had were the two artifacts. There were the garments of power for Adam and Eve made from all the beasts of the field. Lions and tigers and bears and niggers. This would give dominion over the beasts of the field. The lions and tigers and bears and niggers. So what you have is that these garments of power gave dominion over what was not real, what was sort of maybe looked like man, but was not man. Even the white Cro-Magnons here. So, it gave dominion. The second artifact was Adam's digging stick, a.k.a. cut from the tree of life, from a branch of the tree of life, and, able to be turned into a snake later on during Moses' time. But you had that artifact, which turned out to become Moses and Aaron's rod here, which was Adam's digging stick. So you had two major artifacts. And there are some that say that the Jews have dominion over the non-Adamic men. So, where did that go? Well, you read in the book of Jasher is that Ham, who was a worthless piece of shit, who may have homosexually raped Noah, later on in Genesis chapter 9, he went ahead and stole the garments of power and gave them to his son, Cush. Well, there's another tradition. A couple of them, like in the Targums of Jonathan, that this Nephilim Rephilim named Og, who later became king over Bashan, a.k.a., the Transjordan area. Why, he was a Nephilim Rephilim giant here who was what? His bedstead was 15 feet, so essentially that means he was at least 14 feet tall. My Super King mattress here. It's 6'5", 6'6", maybe if it's a Super King it might be 7 foot here, and I'm 6'2". You know what I mean? So maybe Og may have been, 14 and a half feet tall. Who knows here? But, he was a Nephilim giant. Well, according to another tradition, the Targums of Jonathan, that Og of Bashan was a big old giant. And he crawled aboard he crawled aboard, he got aboard the Ark, and was sitting on top of it, and Noah cut him a deal that if he would behave himself, Noah would feed him. So that would make, you know, who knows how old Og was. He was the first generation Nephilim. Under Cain. Who knows? Maybe under Cain's daughters. Who knows how old he was? Because there's 1,651 years afterwards. After, you know, the, you know, turning out of, you know, that. So what happens is that if he lived 1,651 years or somewhat less here before the flood, and then around, what, 1,500, he was killed by Moses in battle, he would have been 3,000 years old. That's the longest living humanoid figure ever. Far more than Methuselah, who only lived 965. But, moving on. You had this spot here. And according to tradition also, there's that three creatures had sex aboard the Ark. One of them was the dog. The other was the raven. And the third was Ham. So who do we have sex with here? You know, his white wife? No. Do you have it with his Jew Kenite wife here? Naama? Probably not. No, probably he was going ahead and fucking a Dravidian negress. You know what I mean? You know, because Ham, you know, Ham goes ahead, and the word Kush here is that there's a Hindu Kush and there's an Ethiopian Kush. And what, you know, what it refers to is niggers. Niggers who essentially have some white blood in them. So, more than likely, it was a Dravidian she-negress who was satanic in origin. And Ham went and had sex with her and gave birth to Cush, who gave birth to Nimrod, who is also maybe known as Gilgamesh. Let's see here. I'm wondering if, you know, any of you are having problems with hearing me. Is the, so, you know, well, I'm not, you know, go ahead and give me a radio check every so often. So, this is very much the deal. I think the reason I don't hear any feedback is that, Fat Guy has his mic muted here to avoid there being anything that is, you know, any feedback. You know, at least that's what I hope. I don't hear any feedback. The rest of you in the chat room, go ahead and tell me if you can hear me. So, anyway, I'm sitting in my underwear in front of my computers in my computer room. Anyway, so here the story is that you end up having the flood. Now, plenty of other people outside the Karen Basin, but it floods everything except, you know, Noah, his wife, his, you know, three sons, their wives. Maybe a stray satanic Dravidian she-nigger or two. And Og Abation. You know, essentially, it's not supposed to be the love boat here, but in some cases it may have turned into such here. And in the case of Ham, that's why if you're a true Christian Israelite, you avoid Ham. Bad pun. Anyway, they go ahead, they get off here. I remember arguing with Eli James here, and he claimed to be dual seed line, and we're going to have an argument here. And Eli, or at least, is smarter than they'll think here. He went ahead and seen where it goes here. I mean, the debate only lasted for about a little bit over about 45 seconds. Why I said, you know, he goes ahead and talks about the covenant. that, you know, that followed after the flood was over, the waters withdraw, and Eli or James, he's a, you know, he is actually a Sephardi Jew. Sephardi Jews are called Dominionists here. Think, you know, Ashkenazi Jews like Bill Fink are exterminationist Jews here. You know what I mean? You know, sort of like old Nigger Lips was here. He was exterminationist here, although he didn't understand is that the first critter that would be exterminated was, you know, was essentially a slant-browed, you know, unibrowed, you know, slant-eyed, shit-skinned, you know, mongrel like him. Jew mongrel like him. But, you know, Eli, you said it's going to be a covenant. And then he goes ahead and says, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that Noah, you know, covenant with all the earth here was he was going to save the aardvarks and the anacondas and the Aztecs? I mean, how are they going to go ahead and be there? Were they going to go ahead and take a steamboat? Were they going to go ahead and take a railway? We're going to take a jet airliner here. I mean, how are we supposed to go ahead and have a covenant here with Yahweh about not flooding the entire earth again? You know what I mean? And by this time, Eli knew that I was making fun of his pretensions to dual seed line Christian identity here. You know what I mean? He is the smartest of the party Jews here who infest, you know, CI dentistry here. I don't know if he's still around or not. But anyway. Anyway, we didn't have a debate that night at all. So anyway, you had Noah come in here, and so Noah went ahead and he took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered them burnt offerings here. He was supposed to take seven pair with him. He went ahead and sacrificed. A pair. So going on here, verse 9, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, prepare you. So every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even the green herb. But you don't, he goes ahead and tells them, every creature, go ahead. And, this is in the Tarim Basin here. The ark is not in, Turkey. It's somewhere, if it's around, is still in the Tarim Basin. Aboard a protuberance or something like that. More than likely hid by Yahweh. So, he goes ahead and does that. And the sons of Noah that went forth to the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. So how did Ham become the father of Canaan? Who was his wife? Supposedly his white wife had, the Egyptians, and they weren't cursed. The Libyans were not cursed. So who was cursed? Not even the Davidian nigger, but he had a wife. Who was that wife? Answer, Genesis chapter 4, verse 22. Was Naama. So it's the half Sethite, half Canaanite. Verse 20, Noah began to be a husbandman. He planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine, was drunkard, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Verse 24, and Ham awoke with his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And there's the question of what is the curse of Ham? The Arabs, they want to go ahead and, take these niggers out of Africa. They don't want to breed them up, so usually if they took male niggers, they go ahead and cut their nuts. You know what I mean? Because they didn't want nigger DNA inside that. But already there were mongrels. The word Arab is E-R-E-B, which meant essentially mulatto or mestizo or whatever. It meant racially mixed. So essentially, they were, you know, they were denutting nigger after this horse got out here. But anyway, so what was the curse? It was this, the curse of Ham, supposedly, was to where you end up having Baptists like Cunt Hair Walrus's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather just by the odor of niggers. Because he said they had the curse of Ham. Ham couldn't be cursed because everything which went aboard the ark had to be blessed. I think what Ham did was he went ahead and cornholed his drunken daddy. But anyway, both Shem and Japheth were righteous. The Yahweh's covenant was not so much with Japheth, but with Shem. So, anyway, he said, cursed be Canaan. Well, where was Canaan at? Where was Canaan at? Answer? Ham was blessed, but his Jew, his part Jew, his part Kenite wife, Naamah, was an evil bitch. And Canaan was the fruit of that evil bitch's pussy. So unlike Pingle here, it's not like me and Pingle here. You know what I mean? Here's Pingle, kills mom. And what happens? He does under the influence of the hippo. The hippo goes ahead and squeezes out baby Pingle. Baby Piglet gives a big lump of fat here, and I think it's going to go ahead and make a fine psychotic asshole here. Why, hey, if Piglet ever goes ahead and takes Baby Piglet from South Dakota, in parting, I said I'd give him a 1963 GMC Jack Handle so that Baby Piglet could go ahead and do his mom and dad what Piglet did to his mother. Jenny did to poor old Martin Samuelson here, my grandfather. But anyway, this doesn't mean you have to go ahead and knock over Pingle here with the jack handle, but on the other hand, maybe it's destiny. But they too suffer from osmoniitis, a rare genetic disease of the Samuelsons here. Only fabulous get it, and only if they're super unwary here. Here they do, they live to be 80 or 81, and then all of a sudden comes a flying 1963 GMC pickup jack handle here and stretches you out to be smothered by a big fat evil bitch, like Temple, or like Jay. Or, what happens, you're merely, essentially set up, 800 some miles to die like a dog all alone here because you've been scared that your eldest son and back to Missouri and make sure that you take your meals and take your blood pressure medicine here. I mean, either in your own farm here or somewhere in St. Augustine, Florida during the winter months. But anyway, he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So what this curse did is that it went ahead and saddled the Shemite, Shemitic people, the descendants here, the Aryan nations, it saddled them with the Jews. It saddled them with the Jew parasites here, who usually cannot live as a host entirely unto themselves, but always have to live like parasites here. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Verse 27, Yahweh shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant as well. So pretty well what happens is that even the Jacobites here, they got Jews, Canaanite Jews, as their quote servants, but really in many cases as their masters. So after the flood, Ham, according to the book of Jasher, went ahead and stole the garments of power, given dominion. He gave it to his son Cush, who was essentially a Nephilim Rephaite Dravidian part nigger. Went ahead and set up Hindu Kush and later on African Kush in Ethiopia. So, what happened to that here? Now, I think the garments of power have been given into the rest of the house. But you go ahead, you don't read in the Bible, you read more traditions. Is that here is Nimrod. Goes ahead and, you know, the beginnings of nations, you have Genesis chapter 10. You know, the Canaanites. You got, you know, Sidon, Heth, and the Jebusite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, and the Arkanite, and the Sinite, and the Arvidite, and the Zemalite, and the Hamorth, and afterwards the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. Well, essentially the Hethites, a.k.a. the Hittites, were his other sons, and they became known as Khazars and the Ashkenazi Jews here. Jews are Canaanites. They have satanic blood in them. That's why there's no such thing as a good Jew. The Russians have at least enough sense here to realize that a so-called Messianic Jew is what they call a wet Jew. A baptized Jew is just simply a wet Jew. That's all he is. You know what I mean? Don't be the Baal fake here who claims to be a hybrid. You know what I mean? So you have a number of these ones, but the Sidonians became the Phoenicians. You know, Baal fake lies about that. But going on, goes on to where Yishem, you had Eber, you know, the brother of Japheth the elder. You know. By the way, it says that, you know, the brother of Japheth was the elder. Japheth was the elder. Even unto them were children born. Children of Shem. You know, goes ahead and says Asher, Elam, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. He goes ahead and then goes with Aram, where Uz and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begat Eber. That's the name of the, you know, basically the name for the Hebrews. Was Eber. And to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begat, you know, whatever, and you go on to all the, you became all these, all these begats. So anyway, Elam was likely, a civilization of its own. And they were destroyed by the Assyrians, or the cities were destroyed by Assyrians, and, you know, Assyrians, who were also a Shemitic people, who were ruled over by Jews. So anyway, we have the Tower of Babel, or Babel. And so they went ahead and built a tower, and then Yahweh confused their tongue here. But the whole earth was one language and one speech here. Well, they were descended from one family. So they go on, and he says, well, let's make a city, let's make a brick here, burn thoroughly. You had the Akkadians, and you had the Sumerians. The Sumerians lived to the north of the Sumerians, and they called themselves the Blackhead people. And you go in and read the Compare, and pretty well he believes that Cain was the one who went ahead and helped found this sort of thing. He died in a hunting accident by his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Lamech, the bad Lamech. So, he goes on, Yahweh says, confound their language, they may not understand one another's speech. And Yahweh scared them abroad from hence here. Now, what happens to Nimrod? Nimrod was a mighty hunter. using Mighty Hunter. But then again, he had the garments of power. Remember? Dominion over the beasts of the field. You know, the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my, and the niggers, oh no. So, what happens, he had control over the Mongols, the Manzers, and the rest here. So, what you see is that goes on, at Toll's bio, at the tail end of, you know, Genesis 11, you have the, you know, about how Abraham was told to leave. But you read the book of Jasher, you find out that his father Terah was the right-hand man of Nimrod. But he goes ahead and dreams that, you know, Nimrod dreams that, guess what? Abraham will go ahead and have someone who will go ahead and kill him. And that's true enough here. But during this fight, this is why I want to go ahead and bring about Vladimir Putin here. Nimrod had control over the beasts of the field. He did not have control over the sons of true Adamic men. And Japheth was one, you know, his descendants were these true Adamic men. And so, the garments of power had no control over the sons of Japheth. But there is a tradition that the Hamites and Nimrod went and had, you know, just like you had, you know, with the National Socialist Germans here trying to subdue and bring underneath their, you know, their reign the sons of Japheth. And they did initially win. And they brought some of the sons of Japheth under the control of the sons of Nimrod, even though he did not have the garments of power. Well, later on, remember Elam here? Supposedly, there's another tradition which says that Elam ended up being miscegenated away, and that Shem, his uncle, his granduncle, went and cut him into 13 pieces to send to the white nations, the Adamic nations, portions here, and that, you know, both the Egyptians and the Mesopotamians had the same thing, and that one of the most important piece was this pecker and nuts. And so either a crab or a jackal ate it, and that became the basis of the Egyptian, Osiris, you know, Isis and Horus legend, and the case of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz legend. So, in the case of Vladimir Putin here, it seems to me, as essentially head of the Great Russians, is that all he is doing is, you know, working against the Jews who have control over what used to be called Ukraine, or the Ukrainians used to be called the Lesser Russians. You had the Bielorussians here who lived to the north and the west of the Japhethite people. You know, the Poles, the Czechs are the most westernmost ones. The Serbs and the Croats and Slovenes and Slovaks or whatever are the southern Japhethites. And since Vladimir Putin is the head, the ruling monarch, or, you know, president, as they call it here, they don't, they're like the Romans, they want to pretend that they are not ruled by kings, so they call them emperors. But anyway, so too is Vladimir Putin fighting these servants here who have gotten out of control, out of hand, the Jews, the Canaanites. So what Vladimir Putin is doing is that he is trying to go ahead and save his people. No. He's trying to go ahead and save his, business. He's trying to go ahead and save his people. I'm giving a long lecture here about the validity of Vladimir Putin as head of all the Russians, and also the other fellow pathetic Ukrainians here. You know what I mean?
We're armed and dangerous, right? We're armed and dangerous, right?
Who's armed and dangerous?
We can steal their fucking property. We can arrest them. We can put them on trial. We have guns.
Okay.
You and Fat Tech have more in common than you think. Maybe you guys are too. You guys are much of alike that you can't get along with each other. That's what it is.
Is this live or is this recorded?
You're not even going to be able to buy charcoal for your barbecue because that's dangerous.
You want to go ahead and take a break so I can go ahead and pick up my soup here and put my pants on? This is dark outside. Back up. But anyway.
Good Lord.
I think Fat Guy got bored here. But the point is that these are the Japhethite people. What Vladimir Putin is doing is correct and right. Biblically. What happens is that he was, Ukrainians under control of the Jews over the course of 8 years, were shelling and murdering the Russian speakers of Eastern Ukraine, aka Ukraine, actually was used to call the Ukraine, essentially meant the borderlands. And pretty well how the West has invaded, be it the Poles or be it the Germans or be it the French, how they invade is that they would come through the Ukraine before they got to Russia proper. And therefore, Vladimir Putin wasn't going to allow, as a Russian. He understands that the areas of the Ukraine with its broad plains or something like that don't go ahead and allow. There's no geographic features here which allow them to protect themselves. So he was not going to allow the Ukraine to become part of NATO. Either openly or secretly. And he insisted that the Crimea, of course, belongs to Russia because it's necessary for them to have for their navy and for, essentially sending their grain by water to the rest of the world. He was not going to allow that at all. And so, That's the basis here for this war that they're having right now. So anyway, he is absolutely right. He was absolutely right in what he does. And so as head of the Aryan Nations, pretty well I bless, or at least I go ahead and point out that Vladimir Putin is absolutely 100% correct in doing what he has to do in order to go ahead and protect his people and his people's interests. And so, what he's doing now is he's, sucking up to the Chinese and to the Indians. He's going ahead and selling them oil at reduced prices, and they'll pay him back in Chinese yuan. So what you've seen in the last week or so is the death of the Zog Buck. The death of the Zog Buck, wherein the gasoline is going up to, it went down a little bit because there was so much financial turmoil that people don't know what it is, so they stabilized a little bit under around $100 a barrel. But you're going to have $4 gas here, and you might end up having, when the Zog Buck becomes absolutely worthless, far more. So anyway, that's what I want to go ahead and point out here by my long about, it's been about an hour or so since I've been talking. I'm going to go ahead and I hope that this show has been recorded. All right? Is that it? Have you recorded this? Florian Geyer. This is the Dying Zog of the March 18th, 2022, Part 1. Hail Victory. I'm hoping Fat Cat recorded this. I don't see the record number. I don't see a recording thing on here.
Oh my God.
Alright. I'm hoping Fat Cat this. If you didn't, well, I should have gone ahead and brought in my recorder here. So I'm going to get up. We're going to take about a 10-minute break here.
Fat. Hell, faggot.
Did you record this?
Yeah.
Did you record this, Steel?
Yeah, I did. Fuck, you can't hear me?
I can hear you now. I assume you muted yourself so there wouldn't be any feedback.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, pretty well that's what I wanted to point out is that the Japhethites, some of them were conquered by Nimrod and put under the control of the Jews for a short time until Shem hacked, killed Nimrod and put him to death here. So that is why Putin is doing. And I think Putin will end up becoming, just like they said about Oliver Cromwell, I think he'll be known as a very great bad man. he is doing what he needs to do in order to protect his people. So I don't have a problem. I certainly don't have a problem what he's doing to the Ukrainians. Pretty well the Ukrainians are under the influence of Jews from the Zog land. But I'm going to go ahead and take about a 10-minute break, if I could.